TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TagCast Podcast. I've got bloodshot eyes. Episode 332. It's Friday. The weekend is here. My name is Terry Guile. And across the table sits my bloodshot-eyed co-host.
Gatch. Them crooked Gatches.
Yeah, it's the crooked Gatchels.
Dude, I just saw the CD the other day.
In your house?
Yeah.
Have you opened it yet?
Yeah, I opened it the first day I got it. I, like, pre-ordered it, so it came on the day it was released from Amazon. Then I lost it for, like, a year and a half. And
did
never
you
listened
to it once?
Yeah, well, I actually had it somewhere else from downloading it online legally.
Zoom.
Yeah, I think I bought it online after a while because I couldn't find the CD, and I was like, well, fuck it. And then I found it, and then I didn't know what I did with it, and then I just found it again.
It's too cool. Funny story. But yeah, taking us back a few years here. I think this came out in 2010. Them Crooked Vultures. The reason I brought this up is because Dave Grohl plays drums on this.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be playing drums on the brand new Queens of the Stone Age album, which I'm stoked about. I think they're almost done recording it. So it won't be out for a while, but no reason not to get excited early.
Who's this their bassist?
For Queens?
Yeah.
It's that new kid. He's going to be called New Kid, like Jason.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the band for 2 or 3 years now, but I can't recall his name. He was a young kid from California that was a huge fan, and he just tried out.
But he's played since Nick left?
Well, they had that Alan Johannes for a while, and he is also a rhythm guitarist for the touring version of the Crooked Crooked Vultures.
Right.
But for a while there, they would all just switch off. Sometimes Troy Van Leeuwen would play bass on a song. Sometimes Alan would play bass. Sometimes Josh even played bass on a couple songs. But now they've got their permanent replacement. I do not recall his name, though. But, yeah, this is probably the most disco-y beat I've ever heard Dave Grohl play.
You know, when this album came out,
it's almost Party Boy.
For some reason, I kind of wanted to not like it.
Just because why? It was
the sum of its parts just seemed
odd.
Too good to be true.
Well, there you go.
you know. And so, I mean, the expectations for me were like, the expectations are going to be too high. There's no way they'll live up to it. But, I mean, I think it's a solid record. A lot of people said that it sounded exactly like Zeppelin. Wasn't that?
There's parts, dude. Now listen. I've never heard Led Zeppelin do anything like that before. Nor have I heard Nirvana, the Foo Fighters, or Queens of the Stone Age.
But the groove is going to be very Led Zeppelin-y because it's got the same bassist, though.
Yeah. And Dave Grohl is a huge John Bonham fan.
Yeah. You know, and obviously...
It's going to sound like Queens because of the vocals and the guitars.
But, if, you know, I mean, I never, like, listened to it. And, you know, there's obviously Zeppelin-ish parts, but I never thought, man, that just sounds like Zeppelin.
No, I was playing a part for my friend John Manning the other day. And I didn't tell him who it was. He was like, wow, that's Zeppelin-ish. Mm-hmm. Just on this one little riff. Yeah. I can't remember what song it was. And I was like, dude, that's awesome because that's John Paul Jones.
But there's Bowie-esque things in there, too.
That's almost Bowie-esque right there.
You know, and some of the vocals and that right there particularly.
Yeah. Definitely different than
Bowie.
I don't think it sounds like Queens or Nirvana or Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Or this song in particular, which... Yeah. Called Elephants.
Mm-hmm.
So check out them Crooked Vultures. They've got one album out, self-titled. I've heard rumors that they may make another one someday, but I do not know for sure. You know, we were talking about this last night, and it's kind of funny. I want to kind of make it into a joke, but I don't think a lot of people would get it. I was going to say, yeah, me and some of my friends are starting a new supergroup.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have ever been in any bands before, but we all wear capes.
Nice.
You got it.
Yeah.
Even if that was a courtesy chuckle.
Yeah.
Super superhero group, I guess you would call it. It's Friday.
Do you like to curse, right?
Fuck yeah. Sometimes I don't like to curse, and I curse when I wouldn't want to, but I can curb my cursing.
Yeah.
I'm working on my clean set.
Mm-hmm.
Why you ask?
Do you think it's ladylike for girls to cuss?
Only if they're a cunt. If this bitch is a slutty whore, then I think she should say the C word. No, I do think it's a little bit trashy for women to cuss constantly, like a lot of guys do.
Like, as they say, like a sailor.
Yeah, but like you're fucking using fucking for every other fucking word, and you say faggot and slut, maybe... pop out the N-word every once in a while. I think a lady should be a little bit more ladylike and maybe say friggin'. I don't know.
Fudge.
I don't mind girls cussing, but I could imagine how someone would think if they just constantly cussed.
Yeah, it does, you know, well, it's...
I don't even do that.
It's an impression.
If I get excited a little bit, I might say, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a New Jersey school that bans cursing.
Well.
For just girls.
Is it a high school?
Let's see. Queen of Peace High School would like girls to stop cursing, saying it wants ladies to act like ladies, a teacher tells. It's a Catholic school. Asked the girls, but not the boys, to take a pledge not to swear. The boys, instead were told they are not to swear in the presence of ladies.
Huh.
But one girl said they should be like gentlemen, too. They should take the pledge as well.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
The teachers say they're hoping the girls' clean talk will inspire the boys.
Well, you know what our friend Frank Zappa says about Catholic girls. They go all the way. And I think that a reason why they're known for being a little bit promiscuous is because of the fact that they are forced to lead such sheltered lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're making these girls never cuss, then, boy, once they get out the chute... they're going to go fucking nuts.
It's the taboo thing, right? You make it taboo, and then they rebel against that taboo.
Honey taboo boo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so one of the boys said that it's unattractive when girls have a potty mouth, but he says he can't stop himself from swearing while pitching for the school's baseball team.
What does he say, like, when he winds up, fuck?
Probably when somebody like hits a home run off him.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah, or like a line drive takes him out in the forehead.
Somebody wrote a book called Why We Curse, though, and they say people on average drop 80 to 90 off-color words a day. and that those programs never work.
Off color.
Yeah.
Would that include, like, not just, like, curse words, but, like, derogatory comments, like fag and...
Yeah.
N-word.
Yeah. But in another similar story that I had here, and this is college. We're moving up the ranks now.
All right.
Columbia University. He apparently cussed out his Spanish professor, calling his professor a bitch in front of the class over a low grade. He got a surprise, though, at 12:30 in the morning when the associate dean sent officials into his locked room, and when he refused to cooperate, they carted him off to the St. Luke's Hospital, which is a mental ward, and he refused to answer psychiatrist's questions, and when he tried to leave, they injected him with a Haldol. And he requested to be released several times, but a doctor said he had grandiose and paranoid delusions and a confused thought process and locked him up for 30 days.
Wow.
In the mental hospital because he told his teacher she was a bitch. So he's suing for $10 million.
$10 million.
Yep.
Millions of tens of millions.
Yeah, he said he lost... He lost all desire to pursue his budding career as a violinist or to even play.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's lame.
That is fucking crazy, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's totally over the top. It's like totally like just, I don't even know what to compare that to as far as like, I'm at a loss for words is what
it
I'm
is.
At
it's
right
a, I mean, that you could just be. You know, because I don't know. I don't know how those.
And did it ever come out to say whether she was a bitch or not?
Because gave him a low grade.
Well, fucking what a bitch.
I know.
Yeah, and I
I'm
wonder.
Sure, she's been called worse.
Yeah, I'm sure, especially behind her back.
Yeah, but it looks more like it was in the psychiatric's hands. You know, once it got to there. You know, maybe he was a troubling student beyond that. Like maybe he called all his teachers bitches, or you know, he just
maybe
was.
He was.
But that's no reason to be like
bitch.
Lock him up for 30 days against his will.
Yeah, because when you get locked up into a mental ward and you're not crazy, by the time you get out, you're going to be a little more crazier than you were when you got in.
Yeah, just to say, medicate.
Tons of movies about that shit. Even if you're just hanging out with crazy people all the time. Yeah. If you're hanging out with people that are fucking wandering around the hallways, fucking going, ugh, I like peanut butter.
It's
going
to change you.
Yeah. Did you play checkers with my wristband, please? Mm-hmm. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I have diarrhea.
I saw where it was like at a Motel 6 or somewhere where imaginary friends now stay free.
Nah. For the children or the adults?
I think for everyone.
Do they got a pull-out bed for everybody? Oh, bastard.
They just sleep on the floor. Fuck them.
I don't bring my kids. Fuck the kids. I said this before. I love kids and everything, but I fucking hate kids. Speaking of kids, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just, well, guys can get tons of girls pregnant and just not even do anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
Deadbeat dads, they call them. I think this is the first time I've ever heard of this.
They called them gigolos, or is that just a guy who lends them out himself out
I
to older ladies?
I think a gigolo just goes and gets paid for having sex.
Oh.
And you could call someone a gigolo who's not getting paid, just like you call a chick a whore who fucks a lot of people, even if she's not really getting paid
for it. I was just wondering
it.
Where David Lee Roth was coming from.
He's a ladies' man.
Yeah.
He likes the ladies. But an Ohio judge has ordered an admitted deadbeat dad that he cannot procreate anymore until he proves he can support the 4 children he already has, that he is behind $79,000 in unpaid child support going back to 2009. Now, that's only 3 years. That's like $25,000 a year.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, how many kids?
4. Only 4 kids. Well, still, that's about 4,000.
250 a year or 250 a month?
Yeah, that's about
per.
Normal. That's about normal.
Yep.
Yep. So I don't know how they can enforce that.
Cut him.
Step. Yeah, they could cut him, or they could just force any woman that he ever had sex with to have an abortion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is Not that I'm for, like, government and stepping in and taking control, but it is probably, if somebody isn't going to take responsibility like that, I mean, it seems like if they owed that, you could probably have them locked up, right?
Yeah. Well, they can take your driver's license away first.
And
that really helps you to make money so you can pay your bill.
Yeah. Well, the system isn't the best.
It's a little bit flawed.
Yeah.
A little tainted.
Yeah.
But this is funny because the dude's lawyer, you know, he's coming up with whatever he can think of to get the dude off. And he says the sentence was totally overboard because it dings him for being poor and, in effect, bans him from having sex for 5 years.
No.
Have you heard of a condom?
No shit, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Have you heard of the fucking the rhythm method?
The only thing in my mind that would make me think that he has such a problem with this request is that he wants to go out and have some more kids. Because otherwise he'd just be like, well, yeah,
I probably shouldn't, yeah.
You know, yeah. Because if you're behind 80, 100 grand in back support, I mean, you know, I don't know.
I would much rather take a sentence of you can't have any more kids than you have to go to jail for 5 years.
Yeah.
He's on probation for 5 years.
Yeah. How about this? You can't have any more kids or you could pay that back child support.
Yeah. But yeah. If you can't come up with $79,000, then...
Cause sure, it kind of is dinging him because he's poor, but, you know, there's a side effect of being in a not-so-good financial situation where you shouldn't have, you know, 30 right. kids.
And if he's not going to have enough money to pay his child support, he should at least use that money to have sex with hookers because they never get pregnant.
Because
they know what their job industry is, and they're not going to fucking let some John get him pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking maybe that dude should go to Florida.
Yeah, because he's crazy?
No. Well, that, and there's this chick that's been arrested for running around just randomly kicking people in the balls.
Nice!
So if he got kicked in the balls, then he wouldn't be able to procreate if she did it right.
Well, that's like, there was that website that had that show, Kicked in the Nuts.
Well, this wasn't even a show. This was just some lady that got arrested in Florida.
Uh-huh.
The Manatee County Sheriff's Office said a deputy responded at 2:45 in the afternoon to apparent report of a female in the street kicking random people in the genitals and running around. So she apparently would kick them and then run around.
Yeah, she wasn't running around and then kicking them.
No, she'd run around, and then she'd kick them, and then she'd run around, and then she'd kick them. Her name was Katina Collins.
Hmm.
Katina, that's weird.
Right now I'm doubting the whole validity of the story because I don't... Manatee County?
Yeah, we had another story from Manatee County, a story on Crazy Floridians just last week. I can't remember what the story was, but you listeners, go back and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Manatee, Florida, I think that's where some people were hunting some of them snakes for the great snake hunt off or something like that. But check this out, though. So the deputy responds, right, and he sees the chick, and she tried to walk away from him, and as he approached her from behind, she spun around and punched him right in the face, knocked his sunglasses off, and then ran around.
Well, that right there will get you a charge.
Well, then she's running around still, and you can't be running around in Florida. That's what it's like. Crazy local laws. You know, you can't punch people and run around. Okay, the deputy was able to wrestle Collins to the ground, and she allegedly tried to scratch his face when he put the handcuffs on her. She was arrested on charge of battery and... nut kickery on a pedestrian and battery of an officer. Just kidding, I'm making all that up. But no, battery on an officer, and she was held on $1,500 bail. They had no motive for her alleged groin attacks. I think she'd been watching too much Jackass. I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. Yeah. Boom. Run around. I'm running around.
Watch that.
Hey, you got balls?
Kicked in the nuts.
Is that really a show?
Well, I don't know. I watched it again the other day because it's this guy in an orange wig. And he goes around and there's a camera far away. And then this guy, you know, it'll show like a guy jogging, you know. And then this guy will run right towards him with this orange wig and like just running kick in the nuts. And the guy will fall down and he'll go, what, why? And the guy in the wig will point at the camera and go, you're on kicked on the nuts. And then the other guy will be
then
all,
it's okay.
Yeah, he'll be like, ah, ha, ha. And they'll hug him. And
it still hurts.
Yeah, there's like one guy like coming out of his door to pick up the paper and, you know, off the porch, and the guy's hiding behind the bushes and
runs
turns
out,
around. Oh, he just turns around and, you know, pivot footing right into him. And then the guy's all, and then he goes and one, there's some kids playing soccer and he runs up and kicks it, the kid in the nuts. And then the dad's all running over there and he kicks the dad in the nuts.
There's a lot of nut kicking going on that ridiculous show.
Yeah.
Ridiculousness. They had a guest on there who was kind of a jackass, kind of a dude that does weird videos. I can't remember his name, but they're like, well, we've been showing a lot of videos of people getting kicked in the nuts. So we're going to let Chanel West Coast, his little blonde sidekick that's also from Fantasy Factory, give him one shot, kick him right in the nuts. And so he let her kick him in the nuts. Just weird.
Maybe that's what she was watching.
I don't want to let
And then just went around and started thinking how fun it was.
I don't want to let someone kick me in the nuts. I got in trouble big time when I was like in fifth grade.
Because
we were messing around with some friends, you know, playing around in recess. And somebody pushed me, so I came running at him and kicked him right in the nuts. And it hurt him. He was crying. And he went and told the fucking, I got to go tell the recess teacher.
Yeah.
Well, then the PE teacher took me aside and said, Terry, that's real serious. When you kick him in that area, his privates, because you could mess up his testicles and cause him to not be able to have children. I was like, whoa. Well, that guy's a fucking retard anyway. He shouldn't be having kids. And then I got suspended for 4 days. Just kidding. That's what I would have said if I was a grown-up. Like, if I was in Life on Mars and got to go back.
Yeah.
But I guess he was the same age, so that's not the same. But
yeah, did you watch that show?
No, I want to watch it though. I watched it like maybe one episode back, way back.
On?
Yeah, but
there was a law I saw recently overturned. There was a 200-year-old law that said women couldn't wear pants, and so they actually—I don't know how much money it probably would have spent—but they overturned that law. Whatever.
Was this nationwide or a...
No, it was like in a city or something, you know,
one of those loony laws.
Yeah, one of those loony laws that, you know, 200 years old. So, you know, I mean, it probably wasn't anything that we'd understand behind it.
We're too young to understand that kind of stuff.
But about laws, there's been a lot of talk about the scouts letting in the gays, right?
The cum scouts?
Yeah.
Yep.
And why is it derogatory to say that's gay when, you know, we're talking about letting gays in the scouts and we let gays in the military, right? When that's the coined phrase, yet you can't say that's gay.
You could, I guess, on that situation.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you think about the issues on not letting gays in the military?
Even though that's not derogatory, it's still like a segregational...
Personally, I think the issue is really faggy. When I say faggy, I don't mean like in a homosexual type of way. I just mean like stupid.
Yeah. Well, Obama commented on it.
Obama comma?
Obama commented it. Obama comma comma.
He's a skeeching son of a bitch.
I know. I got that story too. But he said scouts should let in gays and lesbians.
Of course. He wants approval from it.
But think about that though.
What?
Boy Scouts.
Lesbians and the Boy Scouts.
He doesn't say anything in here about letting girls in. He just says gays and lesbians, so like straight girls are out.
Well, maybe he meant lesbians in Girl Scouts.
He doesn't say anything about that in the story.
Well, maybe the writer is retarded, too.
Maybe.
Or maybe he's gay. But I don't mean gay like a fag. I mean like... I mean,
that's a good point, though. I mean, do you think... Do you think the Boy Scouts should be open to girls?
Boy Scouts?
Yeah.
No, there's Girl Scouts.
You think it should just be Scouts?
No, there's Girl Scouts.
Yeah, but Girl Scouts have been letting feminine guys in their Scouts.
What?
Yeah.
Since when?
I read the story a couple weeks ago.
So do you feel that that's anywhere near the same thing as like letting a girl play football in high school?
Sure. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not really predetermined a boy's sport. Football isn't, but no. Boy Scouts is fucking Boy Scouts.
It is.
But Girl Scouts.
But if you're changing one.
Girl Scouts should be girls, I think. I don't think that there should be boys allowed. If you have a penis, you shouldn't be able to be in the Girl Scouts.
No, wait a minute. Now, what are you going to do with those girls with dicks? chicks with dicks.
I think that that's their choice if they want to be in the Boy Scouts group. If you got every tool that any person would have in that area.
And you have the choice?
I think so. Right. You're like, you got a dick and a pussy?
But at some point, you either start to grow breasts or you don't, right? If you're...
Most of the women, or whatever they are, hermaphrodites that have pussies and have dicks, have tits, too. At least all the ones I've had sex with.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, the only ones I know are older, but I've never asked them what their childhood was like going up with that kind of stuff.
The bummer is that the penis is on top of the vagina, so it's always in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And after you fuck her for a while, her penis gets hard, and then it's like poking you in the belly button. It's a little clue for you guys who are thinking about having sex with Craigslist hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
It's a new disease. It's called Craigslist.
Yeah. So you're talking about, like, the gun picture, right, of Obama?
I didn't see it, but I heard someone posted and then tagged Barack Obama. Oh, it was Mike McGowan. Carmichael McGee said, I like to go skeet shooting. And if you're skeet shooting, I'd love to go skeet shooting with you sometime. And so, obviously, it would go to Barack's page because he was tagged in it.
Yeah.
But then I saw someone saying, oh, you're supposed to post pictures if it's true. And then I saw someone else say that, oh, the pictures they posted or whatever, but... Just show him shooting.
Yeah, it just showed some holding it kind of looks like an antique rifle.
Not a good time for the president to be posting pictures of him shooting guns.
That was the whole thing, was that he said, he told the media that he goes skeet shooting at Camp David. And then everyone started, well, how come we've never seen him shooting a gun? How come we've never seen him holding a gun? He never talks about holding a gun.
Because he never talks about skeet shooting. Turns out that the term skeet is actually a derogatory term for white people.
It isn't skeet Ulrich's.
It's kind of like stipe hunting.
I haven't seen skeet in a while, skeet Ulrich, so maybe he's been shot.
I think President Obama shot him.
but it's...
Isn't he in that movie Clay Pigeons?
I just don't know because I mean, sure, you know, I don't see any problem with the skeet shooting, or that it was a big deal that he'd never released a picture. I mean, you know, I think it makes total sense that he wouldn't put that out in the public.
Do you think gay people should be able to skeet shoot?
I don't trust a lot of people with guns, especially if they're loaded and they're near me. And you heard about the guy with the sniper guy, right? The American sniper?
No, but I heard something that went down at the boiler room, which I didn't get to do the mic at the boiler room on Monday because I forgot to fucking sign up via email because I'm used to signing up at the place. Somebody made a joke about the sniper, which I didn't know what they were joking about, and some military dude got all fucking pissed, and he's like, in a form heckling, but saying, hey, you know, we fight for our country. And then Ian Carmel got up afterwards.
He was a national hero.
Ian Carmel got up afterwards, and some people were talking quite loudly during his set. And he, you know, he had a pause in his talking, as you do in a comic set. And he could hear these people talking. And he said something about, is that the sniper talking? Just kind of referring to the people in the audience and referring to the guy in the last set.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy that was already pissed fucking got up in his face, and like there was nearly a fight. The bouncer had to grab him, and he was like a little fucking half pint dude that's all big, and Ian Carmel's like 6 foot, oh my God, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know the story though about the sniper.
I don't know the entire story, no. But American hero, he was sniper who shot some big target, I assume.
What did he shoot?
He was a sniper and he shot somebody.
Okay.
Like a big military target, or he was a national hero.
Okay.
He was the American sniper, or he wrote that book, or something along those lines. But he was at the gun range and somebody had shot him at the gun range. You know, where everybody you're just standing next
shooting
to people with guns.
Yeah, so you're hearing guns going off all the time. You're not thinking about
it. Yeah, and
shot.
It turns out it was someone that the guy who had been shot, he was helping this other guy with post-traumatic stress disorder after coming back from the war.
Right.
And then ends up shooting the guy.
Wow.
I do believe it was a gun range like that.
Wow.
You know, it was... And that's why, you know, I mean,
and I can understand.
I wouldn't go hunting with someone that I didn't didn't trust or someone that just liked to get all loaded on beers and go out and shoot. Because I, you know, you don't you just don't know.
Really? Yeah. And so I can understand why a military person would get super upset if a comedian's making a joke about it, if it was distasteful, or even if it was in good taste and was funny and was crafted in a way to make you laugh about a shitty situation, which is always good if you can find laughter in something and kind of ease the whatever it's causing you. But no matter how you present it, there's going to be someone who's like, you shouldn't say anything about that shit because he was a fucking American hero.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a comedy show, so you know, calm down. And even if it upsets you or it doesn't sit well with
walk out for now, or
just eat it up and go, hey, you know, I don't agree with that comic or that he's making jokes about that. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to getting in his face or whatever. And
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe getting in his face, but I don't think like getting tried violent. But I could see being upset and going, "Hey, man, that's not fucking cool," or whatever. But
I think anyone who's going to be yelling out stuff at a comic when he's trying to do his set, they should have more manners. And like, if they're pissed, wait for them to finish and then call them out when they're done and say, "Hey, I didn't like what you said, and that offended me." And if a comedian is a smart enough person to say, hey, I'm sorry I offended you, this is my take, and this is why I thought it was funny. I didn't mean to offend you.
It's not personal.
I don't know if we got into it last week or not about Seth Milstein and his set at the Baghdad. Did I tell you about that? Okay.
No.
So they went up to the Baghdad. He actually got to headline. He was asked to headline. He was honored to be asked. He doesn't really doesn't really consider himself a headliner. Like he says, he's got a tight 15.
That's a great opportunity.
But he can, but you know, headline at the Baghdad is a great honor, you know. So he was stoked about it. He was a little nervous. Throughout the night, people were having bad sets. I guess it was just kind of something that was going in the air. So he gets up there and he starts talking. And about a couple minutes into his set, he could have swore he heard someone faintly say douche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he's like, so I try to keep my train of thought. I'm trying to stay on track and tell my jokes. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe someone got food and their buddy ordered fries and they wanted something else and he called him a douche.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to, you know, validate it in his mind. That this
somebody on a stage one time thought I yelled douchebag at him when I was actually yelling deucebag.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah. they were asking for band name ideas.
Ah. So he continues to do his set, and then he hears the ever-familiar cough douche.
Douche! Oh, no!
And he's like, okay. So there's two or three Eugene comics with them, Alex Adney and Mac Chase. Well, Alex decides to go over to Douche Caller, and because he'd said it three or four times, and the booker of the show, Tristan, was already headed over there and going to say, look, dude, you're going to get kicked out if you don't stop. But Alex beat him to it, and he said, hey, excuse me, sir. He's like, I'm not sure if you realize this or not, but the word douche keeps coming out of your mouth out loud. And the guy looks at him like, what? He's like, I don't like this guy. He's not funny. And he goes, that's fine. He goes, your opinion is fine. He goes, but you shouldn't be yelling that to him. You shouldn't say anything. You should wait till he finished and then maybe say, I didn't think you were funny.
Yeah.
And so the guy goes, fuck you.
Do people not understand that comedy is subjective?
Yeah. And so Tristan is heading over there, getting ready to tell him. And then finally, after Alex had talked to the dude, he got the courage to do what he wanted to do all night, which was yell out, douche! So, of course, you can know how unnerving that would be. It fucks up your rhythm. It fucks up your train of thought. You can't think.
It probably hits your confidence a little bit, right?
Oh, big time. And when you're doing a headlining set, you don't really want to have your notes out there, but you're probably going,
Yeah. Then you got about like four or five different trains of thought running through your head.
And I don't know what we were talking about right before that to get into it, but yeah, hecklers are dicks. And Seth said that as he drove home that night and replayed the incident in his head like 400,000 times.
Oh, I imagine.
Thinking what I did wrong, what I could have done. He goes, I've always been a pretty nice guy. And when someone yells out something, I'll tell them to shut the fuck up or whatever. He goes, but from now on, if someone is going to yell douche or he goes, I'm going to fucking cut them to the ground.
You should.
Insult their mother, their girlfriend, and tell them that their dad's been fucking them the wrong way or what, you know, something to
fucking. You should turn the show at them.
And then you can help by turning the audience against them and saying, yeah, you're a fucking idiot, dude, shut up.
And, yeah, when everybody's laughing at them.
I haven't. I've been lucky enough to, you know, those guys have been doing it longer, and they do it way on a higher frequency because they live in Eugene and they go to Portland more often. They get more open mic stuff. But he also had an incident, I guess, at an open mic in Eugene where McGowan was there, and Seth was telling his joke about a certain thing, and he like yelled out the punchline.
Ooh,
and then he kind of just went and. He goes, I dropped my mic and walked off the stage and went straight to him who had his head down, and I waited for him to put his head up, and I slapped him across the face.
Oh, really?
He goes, and I told him that that is the biggest taboo, especially being a friend and a local comedian in the scene, to ever do. And he goes, keep this in mind, McGowan. He goes, every mic that you're at, I'm at. But every mic that I'm at, you're not at. So think about that. He goes, and then 6 days or 4 days later, we go to the Baghdad, and Mike McGowan had the worst set of his entire life. 5 minutes of somber silence to every word that he said. No one laughed. And you kind of got to do your time, at least 5 minutes, so you don't fuck the show up. And he's like, and as I watched him fail miserably, I thought, I guess I don't have to do anything for that now. He just got his payback. And then I was thinking, he got his payback. And then I get up there and I get the douche treatment. So it's just weird how everything comes in full circles, you know. So
it does.
So sorry to hear that, Seth, buddy. I'm getting ready to do the Baghdad in a couple weeks, and I hope that that doesn't happen to me, or maybe it'll help me be a better comedian. I don't know.
Well, it will. It's always a learning experience if you get heckled. And, I mean, you know, if you prepare for a heckler, you just got to be prepared for a heckler.
And that's when someone mentioned watching that movie with Jamie Kennedy, and someone said, I don't even like Jamie Kennedy. And it's like, well, it's not really about Jamie Kennedy.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's about not liking Jamie Kennedy and trying to deal with someone not liking you.
I would suggest more, though, watching there's the famous Louis C.K. taking on the heckler.
If you just
watch some of those classic, like, if you hecklers type it in, get taken down.
Oh, man. You just type that into YouTube, but a ton of them will come up. And
yeah,
you can
and
watch
just,
them.
I mean, no one's going to fucking fault you if you just even take one of those and just lay into a guy because they fucking deserve it.
I've taken a couple and switched them around to where, you know, it's a little bit of lifting or not just pure plagiarism.
What's dealing with hecklers there is just plans.
Right.
You know, and nobody's going to say, you're stealing my, I don't think.
You're stealing my heckle.
What? My heckle.
You're stealing my heckle shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of Seth, and they got their podcast cast, they gave us a shout out and a review of the Zapotec cast on their podcast community outreach segment.
Nice.
They had a guest in the studio who was a longtime friend of Seth's, who's a musician, I think from back in the Midwest. I don't know if he lives out here now. Mm-hmm. What I gathered was they were friends for years, and he's been in a ton of bands, so they had him listen to it as well. They asked what episode I should have them listen to. I kind of don't know why. I suggested the episode with Carl, and they said that they didn't think that Carl added anything to it, and that if anything, you know, they said, no offense, Carl, if you're listening, but they thought that he took away from the episode, and that it would be better if we just didn't ever have guests on the Zapotec cast. And it just so happened to be the episode where we talked about our heckler. That said we sucked, and he unfriended us because we were full of conjecture and speculation, and they're like, right out of the chute, pretty much, they're talking about this guy. And the way that they presented the story, it really made us feel sorry for those guys, you know? Fuck that guy. You know, we were totally on his side.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but listen to this. And they go, but then, after they stop talking about that and they get into the episode, we slowly realize that that dude is right. And Seth's friend goes, I mean, come on. They didn't even know what a fucking flat-top guitar was. And Seth goes, what's a flat-top guitar? He goes, it's basically acoustic guitar. And he goes, they know what an acoustic guitar is. He goes, just because they don't know one term? He goes, it seems like whoever was writing what they were reading was like trying to pull a fast one on them. Like, flat-top acoustic guitar is just basically an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Well, when you just said flat-top guitar, I'm like, oh, yeah. Well,
and so it was cool because listening to the review, getting different, like, oh, they said Carl didn't add to it, and we're awesome. And then they said, we feel sorry for them because that guy's a dick. And then they said, well, that dick was right. Those guys are full of conjecture and speculation. maybe you should do some more research on your fucking shit before you do it.
We should take out the part that says all the facts.
No. That's a past episode, and I think each episode gets better. Yeah. And with constructive criticism, as was doled out to us from the podcast cast, it helped. And I probably will check my stuff more often.
We learn as we go along, you know. If we sat until we had everything perfect, we still wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and so I'm going up and down on an emotional roller coaster, right? Like, they like us. Oh, they think we're idiots. Oh, mm-hmm. And then Dylan went on to say that Terry speaks very passionately and eloquently and seems to know quite a bit about the music. Oh, and the other thing that was funny, when they said they didn't know what a flat top guitar was, well, Seth goes, Terry's a musician. I'm pretty sure he plays like guitar and maybe some bass.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, no offense. I don't know if you're listening or not, Seth, but I pretty much play any instrument that you put in front of me. Not trying to toot anyone's own horn, but I can play the lip trumpet too. But then he went on to say, I don't remember how he worded it, but he ended up saying, Dylan, maybe he has a little man crush on me, as he told that I spoke eloquently and passionately. He said, I almost think it would be better if it was just Terry doing a monologue about Frank Zappa.
Yeah, it might be.
And I just took that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And I think that the two of us on the Zappa Tag Cast is perfect.
Well, that's your role on the,
exactly,
on the Zappa Tag Cast.
I'm the teacher and mm-hmm. you are the student, mm-hmm. as with the audience members. But I don't know if
I'm here to make you
ask questions that I wouldn't cover, because I know a lot of, I learn stuff on every episode too. I've never claimed to be, I'm somewhat of an aficionado.
Well, we're learning too,
but I'm
right?
Not an expert. I mean, how can you know every fact about Frank Zappa?
No.
I've actually went back and listened to some episodes when I conjectured and speculated and actually had Dustin remove some stuff. So I researched after the fact, but before it was released. So that's a plus for me, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So
hey,
appreciate,
we get better all the time.
Totally appreciate the time there on the podcast cast. They're doing a two times a week thing, I think, still doing the week in review. They had Mac Chase on the other day, and he doesn't like podcasts.
Have they or you checked out the Daves of Thunder yet?
I have not. I don't know if they have. They haven't mentioned it yet. They talk about all the podcasts that they listen to. They're really, you know about Harmontown? You heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
That's a podcast.
Is it Herman Munster?
No, it's some dude named Harmon.
Oh, Harmon.
His last name's Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope I don't alienate Dylan if you're listening, but that's like his number one favorite podcast, and he thinks that Harmon dude is just a genius, and he talks about story circles and just different stuff that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to a bit of it. It was kind of funny.
You know, that's also Sheila E. had a brother named Harmon.
Is that his first name?
Yeah.
Harmon E.? Oh, this guy's last name is Harmon, like Mark Harmon from summer school.
Yeah. That's funny that you don't say the current show that he's been on for like 8 years.
Is it like NCIS?
Yeah.
I can't believe I actually knew it.
I don't even know if that's it. I don't know.
I
see him on, you know, sometimes I'll just watch a random sea show, I guess is what it is, right?
A sea show?
You either put it on NCIS, SVIU,
CSIVIA,
or CSI, New York, Miami, regular. Sometimes it doesn't matter which one you put on, you just put one on. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Except for, I haven't watched that. What's the one with, Paul Scheer on? The Comedy Central with SUVIER. It's a mock show. You know, Paul Scheer's on.
I kind of recognize.
He's on the League. He's the one with the gap in his tooth.
Oh yeah, okay. I just actually saw him on a stand-up thing. It might have been. I didn't know. I couldn't remember his name though.
He does that podcast too. How did this get made?
God, everybody has podcasts, don't they?
Yeah, they talk about. I think we've talked about this before. It's they talk about how did bad movies get made, and I think like the first 10 were all Nicolas Cage movies mostly.
Whoa!
They just talk about bad movies, yeah, like that, or like a Precious. Maybe I've never watched that, but
Sandra Bullock.
Is that who it is?
I don't know. That was another one.
I thought it was the one with the...
The fat black chick?
Yeah. It's all sad and...
I was thinking of another one.
Glitter. With Mariah Carey or something. I don't know.
Moulin
Rouge. They just
talk
about bad movies. I watched that one. Moulin Rouge I saw.
My wife tried to get me to watch it, and I watched part of it, but I did not like it. I don't know why.
It's just a standard... Musical,
yeah.
Right,
I don't really like musicals that much, but...
I don't know.
All right, well, let's do this then. Birthdays for today. Celebrities, I got no friends. Well, I have friends.
Mm-hmm.
I got Dustin, he's my friend, but it's not his birthday. Today, I'd like you to guess, and I know he's still alive, but he's been in some trouble and had some shady-looking mug shots. Old Nick Nolte today. How old do you think Nick Nolte is today?
He's...
Wow.
I want to say 50, but...
Dude, seriously, I'm almost 50.
I know, well, that's what I'm going to...
Just think of how old he was.
He's 50.
Okay. 48 hours. 1982. How old do you think he was in that?
Yes, I'm going to say like 68, and I'm probably undercutting it.
Yeah, let's see here. 78.
Really?
He was born in 1934.
Wow.
So that's...
79.
Yeah, yeah. Just turned 79.
Damn. That means in U-turn, I guess he would have been about 65 in U-turn,
was that
around there.
96. I just watched that movie the other night.
Oh, man, I love watching that movie.
I watched it twice. I think I talked about DVRing it, and I have not erased it yet because I just watched parts of it. And
yeah.
J-Lo's not too hard on the eyeballs in that movie, and she's a promiscuous little slut.
It's an awesome movie.
Now, this is probably going to take a little while.
78, really?
Yeah.
Man, is it that the times are so advanced now that older people look younger now, or that I'm so much older that those guys don't look that old?
Now, think that Nick Nolte, 78.
Uh-huh.
Now, how old do you think Creed Bratton is?
I don't know who that is.
Creed from The Office.
Oh!
That's his actual real name, and that's his name on The Office.
I would say he's probably 52.
What?
Yeah.
He's 69, dude.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, he was born in 1943.
No way!
Yeah. He's the same age as my dad.
I thought he was...
He's 70 today. 70.
Wow. That's still...
He's old, dude. You didn't think he was old?
I didn't think
he was
old.
I thought you were
going to
say he was older than Nick Nolte. Nolte doesn't look like an old man. He just looks like a fucking ragged out, fucking drugged up, fucking drunk guy that can't talk anything like this. So, yeah. So, check this out. Side note, Creed Bratton... Do you not know this, or am I fucking wrong? Did he not used to play for the rock band The Grassroots?
I have no clue.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay, you've seen him dabble with the guitar on The Office, haven't you?
Oh, I just see him do the wackiest shit. He's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, talking about drugged out 70s
or like,
taking acid.
There was a classic one the other day about something. Somebody said something out of nowhere and it had no relevance to anything.
And when I typed in the word Creed to Google.
Yeah.
Creed Bratton's the first thing that came up.
Nice.
Not the band Creed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's an award-winning guitarist and a singer.
It was the episode where somebody said something about paper missing in the warehouse. Oh, there's a bunch of paper missing, but it was just a bullshit story to cover something else up. And he's like, that paper was never supposed to arrive. Like he had some plan for it.
Now here's what I wonder: if people who watch The Office,
I have no clue. I didn't know he was anything,
except for the crazy dude from The Office, right?
Yeah, I just thought he was just some kooky character that might, you know, maybe had some background in stage or something.
Yep. Do you know what song The Grassroots played?
High Grass and Green Tides.
Well, I don't know. Oh, Midnight Confessions. My midnight confession, gonna tell the whole world that I love you.
Yeah, okay, I got that one.
So that was their big hit. But he was in the group in 1967. It's crazy.
Has he been musically performing since?
He released three albums in 2000, 2001, showcasing his solo recording since the 60s. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then what's weird to me is, you know, most of those people, not all of them, but a few of those people play their real names. Like Phyllis is named Phyllis in real life.
Nelly.
Maybe. No, I don't know. But Creed Bratton, that's his, I didn't know until I saw the credits that that was his real name and knew that that was his name on The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found out it was his birthday, it came up that he was a fucking guitar player for Grassroots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't fucking
believe and,
it.
And what about Stanley? What was Stanley doing?
I don't know.
He was shoving things up his butt.
Yeah. You know who else was shoving things up their butt?
Katie Morgan.
Vince Neil.
What?
That's his birthday. I was just kidding. Okay. That's what he does on his birthday.
I can imagine.
Now, hold. How old do you think Vince Neil is today?
All right, let me see. 81. He was probably about 61. I'm going to go 50. God, that doesn't seem... Wait, did I just say 50? I'm going to add 5 years, 57.
Oh, you should have stuck with your gut 52? Feeling.
52?
Yep, he was born in the year you said, 1961.
Wow.
He's 1 year older than Axl Rose, one year and 2 days older than Axl from the other day.
He was 20, right, then in 81 when they all started blowing up.
Just a kid.
And how many... Well, I know they did have that infamous show where they threw those Toast of the Town singles into the crowd, and the crowd threw them back.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they had like 100. They're pretty rare today. But then,
why didn't the crowd want them?
Because they suck so bad.
Oh.
It was like at the Whiskey or somewhere down in L.A. It was one of their very first, early on before the thing. And when they released that fucking Toast of the Town song on the re-release of Too Fast for Love.
Was it shitty?
Oh, dude. That's I don't know. It's early crew.
It was Toast.
Before they kind of evolved into a more. I don't know.
And I don't usually include posthumous birthdays. I did on Wednesday because I love Bob Marley. And today, he's dead, but he would have been a year older. Gary, what you talking about, Willis Coleman?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would have been like. 42?
Do people do any Gary Coleman jokes anymore?
I don't hear Gary Coleman jokes anymore.
You could always do the Gary Coleman imitation of him playing a video game, and then you like pretend like you're putting a quarter in the machine, you know, like over your shoulder.
That's a good one. Is that for sale?
Sure.
And also, last celebrity birthday for today is Seth Green, famous actor and voice guy. Family Guy voice.
Oh, yeah.
And Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm. He does a lot of stuff in the background that you wouldn't think, mostly because he looks like Jamie Kennedy and he's scared to be seen.
Is that how it is?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I have some celebrity deaths.
All right, cool. We haven't done that for a while.
All right. How about Nastasia Stojka?
Damn you. I should have known.
A writer and artist who survived the Nazi death camps during the Holocaust.
Holocaust?
Yep.
Hey, we should start a podcast called The Holocaust.
would be funny.
It'd just be totally, like, the void. Holocaust. It's just hollow. It's just void of any, like, content. We just fucking talk. Oh, wait, that's what we do already. Okay, who else died?
Family members.
Could you at least name someone that I recognize?
All right, Hal Drake.
Okay.
He was a writer for the Stars and Stripes. You never knew him, no?
What's Stars and Stripes?
It's the military news of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Nope.
All right.
I'm stupid.
Caleb Moore. He was that kid snowboarder that died in the X Games.
Not working. I don't know who that is.
Ed Koch.
Oh, wait. Somebody did say that someone just... John Manning just told me that someone died in the X Games.
Yeah, he's like 25.
Did he die crashing?
Hit
a tree or something?
So. Yeah. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Right on.
He's involved in a snowmobile crash during a run at the X Games, and he died a week later from injuries.
Yikes.
Ed Koch?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, he was the mayor and a judge.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the People's Court.
And in Congress.
Yeah.
And
he hosted Saturday Night Live one time or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Kyle, which is the guy I talked about earlier, is the Navy SEAL. A little bit more about him.
He has two first names.
He was the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history with 160 confirmed kills out of 255 claimed kills in 10 years. He wrote a best-selling book about his experiences. And Chris Kyle and another man, Chad Littlefield, were reportedly at a shooting range when a man named Eddie Ray South shot and killed him.
Wow. That's weird that the dude has three names. Because it seems like all assassins have three names. No, seriously. Yeah. Did you ever see all those connections between Lincoln and Kennedy?
Oh, yeah. That's eerie.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yep.
That's fucking weird. He was in a Ford. He was in a Lincoln. One was in the theater and ran to a fucking warehouse. Mm-hmm. One was in a warehouse and ran to a theater. They
Ford
were
theater.
All born 100 years apart.
And the vice president.
Assassins
president.
Were born 100 years apart.
They had the same sister's
names. They all
names
had three names. Their secretaries were each other's names.
Yeah.
Fucking, that
That's
just
crazy.
Makes me think that it's all the presidencies, all Portland Wrestling, too. It's just a well-constructed story that they're feeding down our throats.
What about Lino Oviedo?
Oh, annoying. I do not know who that is.
Controversial here. Member of Paraguay's National Union of Ethical Citizens.
Oh, yeah.
He was a presidential candidate for the country.
Yeah, he died of feline AIDS.
Was it?
He was a crazy cat.
Hey-o.
Do you know feline AIDS?
What about Reg Presley?
Reg?
Mm-hmm.
As in Reginald?
He was a lead singer of an influential garage band.
Reg? Or Rick?
1966.
Reg?
Reg.
I'm going to say the Kingsmen, which is wrong.
Close, the Trogs.
Oh, Wild Thing. Meow, meow, meow. Well, rest in peace, Wild Thing.
Yeah.
You know I love
and,
you.
And LaVon Pear Davis was a catcher for an All-American girls professional baseball team in 1944.
All-girl professional baseball? There's no such thing.
Minneapolis Millerettes.
That's fake.
She
it's
also
Portland
played,
Wrestling.
She also played for the Fort Wayne Daisies, the Racine Bells, and the Grand Rapid Chicks.
Wow. Very nice.
And Walt Sweeney, who was some football player who probably died from steroids and concussions. That's what I have.
All right. I'm glad those fuckers are dead. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
I had a quick, dude, I'm thinking about doing like a drum and bass off. What do you think about that?
I know some people that are into drum and bass.
Like, yeah, but not like a drum and bass, like boop, boop.
Oh.
I'm talking about like you bring in like a drummer,
uh-huh.
And then you bring in a bassist as pairs.
What do they play?
They play whatever you want. You play a 5-minute set, and then you're like judged, and the final three will go and play a 10-minute set. You just groove. It's groove.
Wow. Well,
I think it'd be kind of fun.
Are you talking for the VFMF?
I think so, because I think that's primarily, I think most of my promotions will be in that kind of vein. I think so. Maybe down the line, you know, to where we could like maybe buy a simple kit that we could just set up and then like give away at the end, either as a prize to whoever wins or to a kid, and then have some prize for the winning drummer. Do you think it'd be interesting, though, because I'm not really a drummer, per se, mm-hmm. but do you think it'd be interesting to just have the competition, like, on a 5-piece kit?
You mean as opposed to, like, a big...
As opposed to, like, you know, because, you know, drums are kind of like that, you know, if you got the 5-piece kit to work with as a drummer, rather than, like,
right.
bring in your own double bass and then... You know, you have all that. So, like, puts all the drummers on a level playing field kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know.
That makes more sense to where you couldn't come in with a big old flashy
They're
drum
set.
Just
mostly for setup time reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, what can you do with a 5-piece kit? And, you know, obviously you could bring your own snare, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, would be a big...
And your throne.
Yeah.
And your pedals.
Yeah. And then, but I don't know as far as, like, would each drummer want to have one tune all the other drums all over every time?
No, you just have to go with whatever's there.
Yeah, just tune them all to E.
Yep. Tune into drop C. Speaking of tuning to drop C, let's see if I can get this fucking thing to work. Is it going to work or not?
What's in Hans's CD player? Find out now and we'll find out later. What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool because you know he's a player.
You didn't know Hans was a player. All right, we finally got that. Thanks to Dustin for
That's
extracting
awesome.
That. Today, he's listening to some more punk rock. Agnostic Front, live at CBGB's.
I thought those guys were...
They're hardcore
now.
They're okay. Hardcore now.
Okay,
they've turned into like a hate breed wannabe band.
Really?
Yeah, they're kind of like, fight! Because I'll fight!
They were back in the
honor.
80s, right, though?
Oh, yeah. They were
like
always
back
kinda,
with the Subhumans.
Cro-Mags, shit like that, yeah.
Crass.
New York hardcore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just scored
Well,
some...
no, Crass is from England.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. But they were out around
I was throwing Crass out there trying to score some points with Hans, because I thought that'd be, like, probably more popular.
I don't know a lot about Crass.
I don't either.
We're
political, I remember.
Oh, big time. We used to do a Crass song in the Heteros back in the day, and that's about the only song. I borrowed a CD from Jeff Walter and recorded it, and I have the tape probably somewhere. I used to listen to it once in a while. It's really pretty oi. Yeah. It's really oi, oi punk, you know.
I think in my experiences, I haven't, like, a whole lot of punk experience, particularly from the 80s.
Right.
You know, I mean, I like a lot of the Boston sounds.
For sure.
You know? I always thought it was crazy that... I thought that's the style that... that Brian Landtrup, Stoke Brian, had on that Knockdowns album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
He had a lot of...
He would count with an accent.
Uh-huh.
1, 2, 3, 4! Oi!
Yeah. Yeah. I was always impressed with how he did on that album, though.
Yeah. He was stoked.
He was.
And then he turned into Unstoked Brian. But let's see. What was in my CD player was I was listening to the First Lamb of God CD. It's a New American Gospel. Not as well produced as the newer stuff, but I like the material better. I really like Black Label. And
but you like the production better these days?
Yeah, I do. If they could go back and re-record that album, I think it would be awesome. But they've got a lot of
life. How does that compare to, like, as a Monster Magnet, I kind of assume you probably like the earlier production values more than the newer production values?
It was really a hard pill to swallow, speaking of Monster Magnet. Taking pills and shit. The Spine of God was hard for me to get down because of the production at first, because I was into like really well produced death metal at the time and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance is like, dude, you got to give it a second chance.
It's real low fi.
You got to give it a third chance. Just smoke as much weed as you normally do.
And you gotta give the volume
a little
bit more.
Oh yeah, maybe you headphones help because it's got a lot of cool mixture. What do you call it? Textures as far as painting and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I kind of been like their newer stuff as far as production goes. I like a clean, crisp sound. I do dig that.
All right.
It's like I would like the old Lamb of God to sound like the new Lamb of God. And speaking of Lamb of God, did you hear that Randy's back at his trial right now?
I saw it. He was looking pretty snazzy.
Oh, he was all dressed up in a suit and shit. Yeah,
but he looked fucking scared.
Yeah, well,
like
shit.
I mean, he looked poised and ready and prepared, but. You know, I mean, the seriousness of it you could also see on his face.
Yeah, I was pretty blown away by some of the testimony that was given by some of the friends of the deceased dude that died. I think they're just trying to help the family to get some kind of a settlement or something like there because they're saying that Bly's demeanor was extremely aggressive at the show. That's his job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty soft-spoken, regular...
He defended himself pretty well, though, and talking about how he's done stuff for charity and that it's all
for
show.
Sure.
He's very poised and well-spoken and a well-read guy, you know? And
that's what the drummer said, too. They said it's part of the act to be aggressive on stage.
I think it's... I think to most people that's probably obvious, even if it needs stated to be obvious...
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good that in the light of being able to see a human side of someone who's so big in the metal scene, as far as like that they're, you know, just because they play metal, they're not this aggressive
what general society thinks of is like
we're
the
just
law.
Animals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, rather than
the majority of dudes I've met that play in death metal bands are the most compassionate, fucking well behaved dudes that like mm-hmm. would look out for your brother and fucking give you the concert T-shirt off their back, you know. Or
especially those that aren't in their early 20s or whatever, where they're just bar scene hanging around. You
yeah,
know,
maybe
where
those guys
where you're partying,
act like
you
idiots
know, and,
all the time. You know?
Yeah, and you know, not to say that that's anything, but you know, that's generally the years that you hang out at the bar and you drink and you have fun, and sometimes things get a little wild.
I mean,
that wasn't the case in this scenario.
Yeah, and I wasn't there, but I saw the video, and there was a guy who testified that he saw Randy push him from behind with both hands. I'm 100% sure. Now, I saw the video. The security guard pushed him, and Randy just kind of put his arm up a little bit as mm-hmm. he continued singing
yeah.
with his head down and his hair in his face. There was no type of animosity or, like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, this was the first time, too, that I had read anything from Randy's perspective.
Yeah.
Regarding that the guy had been on stage before.
Several times.
And he kind of thought, okay, maybe this guy's a little bit, he could be more dangerous than I'm giving him credit for. And he said, don't come back up on stage again.
Right.
And so, you know,
do you take that as a threat? You know, like,
I take that as fair warning.
Yeah.
I don't take it as,
but I'm
going to kick your ass. I'm saying, hey man, please just enjoy the show from down there. That's what I take it as.
Right.
I'm just wondering if
like friends of the deceased are going to say, look, he said, don't come on stage again. The next time he came on stage, he killed him. No,
well,
that's an exaggeration, I'm sure. But
it's a conflict of interest.
The other sucky thing is that over there in Czech Republic, they don't have jury trials.
Mm-hmm.
They have
a totally different
three judges
system. Yeah.
Three judges to where there can't be like a tie or anything. And so, you know, he addressed the judges in very like eloquent form. He saw the death of a fan is heartbreaking. I'm not a man who runs from my problems, but I do not wish to be punished and suffer the consequences of an act I did not commit. I never saw Daniel. I never came in contact with him. And I think that's all true. Just a matter of whether, I mean, they're suing, demanding 10 million Czech korunas, which is approximately $530,000.
Then he makes like 200 grand a year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. He said that he returned to face the charges as he said he did, as said he was going to, because he's a man of honor and he's just going to try to clear his name.
Hmm.
And that's all that he can do, I guess.
That's all he can do.
Yep.
You know, I mean, hopefully greater heads will prevail.
I'm just wondering that if he is found guilty, what the sentence would be.
It'll be the payment.
You'd have to do jail time, or it'd be a suspended sentence, probably?
It might be a suspended sentence, but it also, considering he's been compliant so far, you know, I mean, he could just stay over here, couldn't he, and not really do anything?
Yeah, they could try to extradite him, I guess.
But. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, showing the compliance and stuff, I think they could do that, or they could do, you know, time served, because he did spend some time over there, right?
5 weeks, yeah.
And so, I'd hate to see more than 6 months if it came down to a jail sentence, you know, just, you know, because I don't know. It wasn't a purposeful act.
Nope. There was no malice or anything like that.
I don't see why the family, other than money, would want to prolong the...
I think if they're going to sue
the show of their son dying.
I think if they're going to sue somebody, they should sue the venue.
Yeah.
Because they have insurance for that shit.
Well, maybe. You would hope over there.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know over there.
But yeah, hopefully our thoughts go out, our prayers or whatever we do go out to Randy and hope that everything works out all right.
Yeah.
And see Lamb of God back on the road and back in the studio, because I like those guys.
And I have a question for Hans.
Okay, you're going to ask him something that he...
Yeah, who is the ultimate guitar tone master?
Ooh, tone master.
Yep, tell me about the tone master of guitar.
Now, I would put out a guess, but I don't want to taint his decision.
All right.
And I don't want to decide for his taint.
So I'm going to wait until he answers the question, and then before you read the answer, I'm going to try to guess.
All right.
What Hans thinks is the tone master.
You want to wait till then to tell me your tone master?
Yeah, because I'll have to think about it.
All right.
Tone is tough.
It is. There's a lot of big tone masters out there. And, you know, you got different genres.
Yeah,
I've just been listening to it because it just reminded me of I've been listening to a lot of Animals by Pink Floyd. Probably one of my favorite by them.
Yeah.
And, man, just it's the a good tone that Gilmore gets on that throughout that album.
Gives you the chills, man.
It does. Yep. You know, from the acoustic parts on the first and last song to that bend on the fucking Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Love bending on Dogs.
Hey-o!
Well, shit, I guess we better wrap this sucker up. We hope you guys go out and do something fun. Stick around after the show. I'll tell you a list of things you can go do. There's a bunch of stuff coming up this weekend, like plenty to choose from on Saturday night. So if you're looking for something to do Saturday night, you got lots of stuff to choose from. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now. We had some good Hawaiian pizza and some meat trio. They were, unfortunately, out of pulled pork, but I got my pulled pork fixed this week by taking my wife to Bomax. Maybe we could get them to sponsor us. No, they wouldn't because we're too foul-mouthed and just assholes.
Maybe if we played their song at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Bo-Mac. Also, Complete Ag Resolutions, thanks for making our show possible for everybody to listen to, and thanks to all you listeners for listening to us.
Thank you, Stan, Chris, and company.
We've got some shows coming up, comedy-wise, and some music shows. Go to terrygile.com to check that out. Go download a form from vfmf.org and give it to your child so they can get a free instrument if they're between the ages of 10 and 17. Do all that. Go to tagcastpodcast.com. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate us and give us a review. Give us a 5-star rating, and then you can write anything you want.
Yep.
I don't even care what you write. You can write truth. You can write fiction. You can write we suck. Just give us 5 stars. It helps.
Did you see our colorful review on the Zappacast?
Maybe. No, I don't think so.
All right.
I'll check it out, though. Also, you could donate to us by clicking the donate button, just a dollar or something. Or if you're rich, give us $100. We don't care. We've got sponsors that just give us money for the whole season in advance. That's why we mention them every day. So you could get mentioned as well. If you're looking to do some advertising, shit, 70 countries.
Hell, in the 74 now.
It'd be good. Over 70 countries, you know, if you got an internet business, we'd be getting you out there.
And if you have a friend in North Korea, have them download our show. We'll probably be shot within a week for infiltrating their country.
Or Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea is another one.
Holland still.
Antarctic Islands.
The Netherlands.
They are. Yeah.
We don't know why we're so shunned in those places, but Sean Connery listens to us.
Afghanistan.
No, you wait.
So that makes me wonder about, like, because I'm sure somebody listens over in Afghanistan, right? Stationed over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody was looking for some.
One,
he's like, whoa, I found this trippy show. I used to live in Oregon, and these guys just talk about stuff.
So they must be, like, feeding it in through some other provider.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what I figure.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah. Something. I don't know. I'm sure that they have all kinds of access to most of the things they need over there. Probably not. Access to come home.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen to us and you'll get some free water.
What?
I don't know. That's not even true.
Do they charge for water over there?
I don't know. Well, it's desert, right?
I guess it's a supply and demand, right?
Yeah. Where would you get it? You just have to have a river coming in, right?
Camel.
Because you can't just drill until you hit water, can you, in the desert? Does that happen?
No. I think you'd hit oil first.
Probably.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why I thought about this. It probably doesn't have anything to do with it or anything, but do you know that they make artificial fruit flavoring out of beaver stuff, like membrane sacs from North American beavers?
I knew that... I did not know that, but I knew that in red velvet cake, because if they put enough food coloring in there...
It'll turn your poop red.
Yeah, well, yeah, that for one. But if they put enough food coloring in there, that it wouldn't taste like cake anymore. So what they do is they crush up these little red bugs that create the dye for it.
What kind of bugs?
They're just like little red bugs. They crush them up, and that's the dye for the red velvet cake.
I think I heard someone else talking about that.
That's why it tastes so. That's why it's kind of crunchy.
No.
Dude. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's yeah, there's something about that. I don't think all do that. I think the more real
yeah, but they're not crunchy.
Do it. No, they're not crunchy. I think they crush them up and use it as the base of the dye.
Yeah, I've heard that before, and someone was saying, so if you eat anything that's red dye, you're actually just eating little bugs. So what?
I've been eating it for years.
Yeah, why stop now, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to find some information.
But that does turn, yeah, the red velvet cake can be scary.
Oh, they're called dried perineal glands of the North American beaver.
Oh, what was it that, there's something else that has, glands. Oh, it's a chorizo. I think it's made of, like, pork, inner cheeks and stuff like that. They're glands in the mouth.
So, like, Pop-Tarts that have raspberry or strawberry flavoring,
mm-hmm.
they use, castoreum, which is a food additive usually listed as natural flavoring.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exudate from the castor sacs of a mature North American beaver. It is a yellowish secretion in combination with the beaver's urine used during scent marking of the territory.
So that's what they mean. You said the first thing you said was that's what they mean when they say natural flavors.
Exactly.
So when you see artificial natural flavors, you go artificial, oh, it's got natural flavors in it.
Beaver urine.
Yeah, it's not like chunks of strawberry.
So, in the USA, castoreum is a food additive considered by the FDA to be generally recognized as safe, often referenced simply as a natural flavoring in products' lists of ingredients. While it can be used in both foods and beverages as vanilla, raspberry, and strawberry flavoring.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I mean,
this says brace yourself. This food flavoring is extracted from the castor sac scent glands of the male beaver, which are located near the anus.
Wait. It's been going on for years, right? This isn't a new process.
Yeah, I guess not.
And
look at him. That's a whole rack of castor sacs right there.
You know, there's going to be... you're going to have, like, animal rights crap going on about that or whatever, but the truth is that they're using the whole animal.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
So I don't know.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Fuck the beavers.
Oh, go Ducks.
Go Ducks. All right, well, I was going to wrap up, but then I got talking about beaver sacks.
Right on.
So we better do that now. Thanks for listening, you guys, on a Friday. Like I said, listen to the plugs after the show. It will tell you what to go do. There's going to be lots of fun stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Rock shows, comedy shows, donkey shows.
Nice.
There's going to be a private show at my house, but you're not invited.
No!
So thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Yeah, rock on, people.
Metal up your castor sacks. Castor sack stopped in the middle of the night. Raspberry Pop-Tarts tasting like shite.
I'm gonna find some of those on eBay.
Raspberry Pop-Tarts made of your urine. Hey, these strawberry Pop-Tarts, they taste like beaver piss.
I'm sure somebody said that before, right? Like, this tastes like beaver piss when they're eating a Pop-Tart.
I never knew that.
And they didn't even realize they were right.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggots. How you guys doing out there? Going to give you something fun to do because you don't want to sit at home. I'm trying something a little different. A little music in the background while I tell you what to go do. Saturday, February 9th, Sick Man and Ice Nine, the Dixie Creek Saloon. That's a tribute show, a tribute to Allison Chains and Joe Satriani. It's a free show, and it starts at 9 p.m. at the Dixie Creek Saloon. Also that night in Portland, another tribute show with Dr. Love, Unchained, and Poisonous. Tributes to Kiss, Van Halen, and Poison at the Hawthorne Theater. $12 at the door, and this thing is nearly sold out. I can't believe it, but it's a popular thing right now, so go check that out. And if you're into comedy in the Eugene area and don't want to go to those shows on the 9th of February, go to the Fat Camp Comedy Show at the Wetlands with Don Frost, Chris Castles, and Mac Chase, hosted by Drew Tiedemann from The Donkey Show. That is a free show as well. Monday, February 11th at John Henry's in Eugene, it's Nashville Pussy. You can find out about tickets online for that. Lost my bed. Friday, February 15th at Cloud and Kelly's, it's the Shingles, the Sad Clowns Cavalcade of Sorrow with Terry Guile, John Severs, Michael Cunningham, Mark Wierinen, and Alex Alvarez. 9:30 showtime, 21 and over. It's a sliding scale, $3 to $5, depending on what you can afford. Sunday, February 17th in Portland at the Wonder Ballroom, it's Red Fang. I'm sure there's some other bands playing too, but I don't have any information. I just love those guys, so look into that and go watch them. Tuesday, February 19th at Hawthorne Theater, it's Soulfly, Insight, Lodi Kong, and 30 Pound Test. Get tickets from Jason or Zach Rowe or Blake Hansel or that other dude that's in the band. And they have tickets for you, and you can save a few dollars. So go check out 30 Pound Test with Soulfly, February 19th. The 21st, down in Medford, at Musichead, we got Wehrmacht, Raptor, Bloodlust, Witch Cult, and Roadkill Carnivore. A great hardcore lineup for Medford, Oregon. Go check that out. February 22nd, at the Baghdad Theater, it's comedy night with Tristan Spillman and friends. I will be one of those friends, and we'll have some more details for the lineup and all that stuff. We'll probably start at 10 o'clock. It'll be $5, and it's 21 and over. February 23rd at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's the first VFMF benefit featuring Catechus, the Berated, and Brutos. There's going to be some giveaways and lots of cool stuff, so come out to the Dixie. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it's free. Another benefit at the Dixie, March 2nd, a benefit for Brooklyn put on by Willamette Valley Music. It's Bury the Goat, Bikini, and a bunch of other bands. I don't know who it is. It starts at 7 o'clock, though. There's going to be raffles and all kinds of prizes and stuff, and plus you're supporting a good cause. Sunday, March 3rd at John Henry's, it's Reverend Horton Heat with Guttermouth. Go online to find out about tickets for that. March 16th at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's Wicked Haven with Crimson Guardian and Bikini, 9 p.m., 21 and over. That's a free show as well. March 27th at the Cosmic Pizza, Pajama People with Ike Willis, featuring myself, setting in on a couple songs. That's on 8th in Eugene. It's probably going to be $10 or $15 because it's well worth your money. You should go. They'll also be in Portland on the 28th at Dante's if you are in that area and can't get down to Eugene to check them out. I'm excited for this next show, March 29th at the Crystal Ballroom. My buddy Dave Forsythe got us VIP passes for Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. And that's at the Crystal Ballroom. Can't wait for that. The next night, March 30th, I just feel like staying in Portland and going to the Roseland to see Clutch and Orange Goblin. Haven't seen Clutch in about 20 years, so. Anyway, that's your shows. Go do something fun. Go check something out. Don't just sit at home like a stick in the mud. Jesus. And if you do, listen to the Tagcast podcast or the Zappa Tagcast. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tagcastpodcast.com.